Very much, and I apologize for all the technical issues that I had when I finally see, I told my wife to disconnect the phone so it wouldn't ring during the shiur, and by disconnecting the phone, she disconnected the internet. Okay, so let me just set up a framework for our discussion today, and I'd like to talk about a number of different things. The first thing I want to talk about is the completion of the Dalet Parshios. And as you know, we have four Parshios which we read, and it starts with Shkolim, and it ends with Parshas HaChodesh. In between, we had Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah. And the completion of that series of four will give us a certain Sedgeway, if you will, a certain bridge to this Shabbos, which is the only Shabbos that wedges in between the Dalet Parshios and Pesach. That's called Shabbos HaGadol. We'll try to get an idea of why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, but first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Sefer Vayikra, and that's the Sefer that, of course, we began just a few days ago. We're going to be dedicating ourselves to Sefer Vayikra for a long time to come. And the premise of my discussion is the following premise, which one could question, but I'm not going to question it because most of the giants in Chazal accepted this premise, that when there's an overlap of two kriyos, there's got to be some sort of connection between those two kriyos. Even though that overlap seems to be coincidental, meaning on the one hand, we started Sefer Vayikra this Shabbos, and on the other hand, we completed this past Shabbos the series of the Dalet Parshios by reading Parshas HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, ostensibly, there doesn't seem to be any connection between the two. But then you're going with what I call the philosophy of accidental coincidence or overlapping. If we want to find a more intricate relationship between Vayikra and Parshas HaChodesh, which means Chodesh Nisan as the Rosh Chodeshim, that's a challenge that we have. And that's what I want to achieve. Now, before we go on, I want to say we have a very fascinating insight of the Kedushas HaLevi, one of the giants of Hasidus, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibraditchev, as to what this unit called the Dalet Parshios means and why it completes itself with the fourth Parsha, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. We don't have time now to go into all the details, but the one point that we want to get from the Kedushas HaLevi is the following. That the number four, in terms of our Avodas Hashem, is significant because it represents the holiest name of God, which is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the four letters of Hashem's name. And as I said before, with great detail, not for us now, he works out why each one and how each one of the four parashas corresponds to a different letter in the name of Hashem. And with the reading of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, that process becomes complete with the final hey of Hashem's name. He goes on to explain, and this is a fascinating idea, that when you have four letters, you can arrange them in 12 different ways. And those 12 options for arranging the name of Hashem correspond respectively to each of the 12 months of the year. The first of those months, which is Chodesh Nisan, our month, the four letters are written what's called the Ofen Yashir in the regular way. It says Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Then we go on to Iyar and Sivan and so forth through the rest of the year, and the arrangement becomes a different one. So that with the reading of Parshas HaChodesh and the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, we enter into what might easily be considered the holiest month of the year, because it's the month of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, we want to link up to Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra in general. And of course, the subject is Karbanos. And as you and I know, Karbanos is a difficult challenge to figure out what it's all about and what its purpose is. But the Zohar, which is a source that more often than not we don't understand, but it gives us a little bit of a glimpse as to the purpose of Karbanos. And the Zohar opens up with a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi called Anikra Bishmi Ulechvodi Barasiv, emphasizing the word Bishmi, which refers to God's holiest name, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Zohar says that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, every human being, has what's called the Chosam, the seal or the imprint of the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. In other words, when I look at a human being, what I'm looking at is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Tzura of that name of Hashem. And the Zohar explains how that works out. The head, which ends up connecting to the neck, is that round Yud, the first letter of Hashem's name. Then the right side ends with five fingers, and they represent a He. Then we go to the body, which he calls the Komas HaGuf, and that is the Tzura of an Os Vav, the third letter of Hashem's name. And then we go to the left side, which ends up with another five etzbos, and that's again the hay that closes Hashem's name. And he says the following, the Zohar, that any time a human being is perfect before sin, these parts of the body are arranged in the proper way. Which means the following, that every letter has its place. I'll give you a mashal. I don't know if this is still true today, but when I was a kid, we used to play Scrabble on a plastic board, and there was a little bit of a framework for each letter. What it means is each letter has its place, and it has to be exactly in that place. In Sefer Torah, for example, this becomes such a critical element that every letter has to have its place. This is called Mukaf Gvil. Mukaf Gvil means that around each letter there has to be parchment. And if at some point the letter is out of range, it leaves its place, then we miss out the Mukaf Gvil. Again, getting back to the Zohar. The Zohar says that when a person sins, Chas V'Shalom, what happens is that he blemishes the name of Hashem. Why? Because the parts of his body that he abused or misused are no longer in their right place. They're no longer arranged as they should be. And therefore, the Shem Hashem becomes diminished, so to speak. Pogum, he uses the word. What that means is that we go back to the parasha of Karban. Every karbon is a mechaper, and the essence of a karbon is to bring kapara, to restore a person to his original pristine state. And what it means is that the karbon has an unbelievable mystical ability to rearrange the parts of the body such that they reflect, as they originally did, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in the proper order. And therefore, the opening verse in the book of Karbanos and Sefer Vayikra, Adam ki yakriv michem karban Lashem. The word Lashem, At the beginning of Sefer Vayikra is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Zohar says that the purpose of the Karban, insofar as it's meant to rectify the Chet, is going to reorganize the Shem Hashem. And therefore the Karban has to be brought Lashem. Lashem means for the purpose of achieving God's will in this world, to have the Dalet Osios of Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, each letter in its proper place. And that process of rectification of perfection, which is achieved through the Karban, is now a process of tshuva, in which any sort of pagam, any sort of diminishing blemish, if you will, in the name of Hashem is rectified, and the Shem Hashem and the parts of the body that correspond to the Shem Hashem are now placed back, each letter in its own original state. Are there any questions so far? I just want to know, you know, we're doing this over the phone, and I just want to know if you're able to follow what I said. No, I can't hear you. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. All right, at least it works in one direction. I didn't hear anything from you, but that could be for many different reasons, you know. Okay, I'm gonna work with the following assumption that so far you understood what I said. Now, there's a very interesting chiddush here to answer a side question, which is not the main discussion. I'm just going off veering on the side for a moment. If this be the case, then since the chosam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is on the human body, then even a non-Jew should have the ability to negate this blemish and rectify the Shem Hashem by bringing a karban. Now, in truth, there is one karban that a guy, a non-Jew, is allowed to bring. That's called the karban ola, but that's not for us now. As a general rule, this process of tikkun, of fixing up the Shem Hashem so it's in the proper order, is given over to the Jewish people. And the Ar Mole, it's not for us now, but he writes, V'elish mos b'nei Yisrael, and the phrase b'nei Yisrael is coming to say that Shmos means the holy name of God, is going to be rectified by B'nai Yisrael. We have a certain ability. And the reason for that is Habayim Mitzrayimah at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, because the Goyim subjected us and enslaved us, and therefore they already have lost that Suras HaOsios, you know, where the body is organized in such a way that it reflects the Shem Hashem. Okay, that's just on the side. Okay, so again, getting back to our case. A Jew sinned, Nebuch, he was pogam, he somehow blemished his goof, and therefore the osios that correspond to different parts of his goof are out of place. The tsuras havaya, yud kei vav kei, is a little bit off base. He brings the karban. Adam ki yakriv michem karban Lashem. When he brings this behema as a karban Lashem, now he's able to, as we said before, organize the parts of his body in the proper place. The osios of Hashem now fit in their perfect place. And of course, the key of keys in the process of bringing the karban is vidui. And the Torah says in Parshas Vayikra, this is in the fourth verse in Sefer Vayikra, v'samach yado, a person has to do smicha, and while he's doing smicha, he has a kavanas tshuva. And how does he have kavanas tshuva? The Ramban goes through a whole long discussion that when he does smicha and he leans himself over the animal's head and he recites vidu, he sees himself as if he deserves to be slaughtered on as a karban. And in a certain ethical, psychological sense, the Ramban says he achieves a genuine experience of tshuva. And now we're ready to organize the Shem Hashem in its proper way. Now, the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Beshalach that we have a serious problem on earth, and that is Amalek. And the Torah tells us that as a result of the existence and the force of Amalek, the name of Hashem is incomplete. Ki yod al keis ka, yud kei. Now, watch what goes on here. We have four letters that form the Shem of Hashem. The shortened, abbreviated name of Hashem is Yud-Kei. As long as Amalek is powerful, is active, then the Vav-Kei is inactive. And instead what you're left with is the Yud-Kei. Now, the reason why the Vav-Kei is inactive is because the name of Hashem, which is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, each letter corresponds to the first letter in the following verse. Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz. So if somebody wants to volunteer to write on the blackboard, Yismechu, on the whiteboard, I guess you call it, Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz, then you will see that the first letter of each of those four words is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Do you see that? So what we're left with is Yismechu Hashamayim, the Yud and the Hey of Yismechu Hashamayim. Because up in Shamayim, Amalek has no, thanks Gershon, I can't see what you wrote, but I assume it's on the board. And Yismechu Hashamayim means that up in heavens, then Hashem is not affected, Chas Shalom, in any way, shape, or form by Amalek. Amalek is not going to impact on God. God is infinite and He's omnipotent. So the Yud Kei Yismechu Hashamayim always remains constant. That's the Yud Kei. But then the Sagela Aretz, the Tagel Miloshen Gilo, which means happiness, that's lost on earth because evil reigns supreme. And again, you and I can have different feelings about who and where that evil is today. You don't have to look very far to find it, and you just have to open up any daily newspaper. And anyway, it's no longer Vesagela Aretz. So the Vav Hey of Vesagela Aretz down here on earth is completely lost as long as Amalek is active and the forces of evil reign supreme. So what we're left with is only Yismechu HaShamayim. The knowledge or the perception that up in Shamayim God is perfect, that's what we have down here on earth. That's the Yismechu HaShamayim of the Yud Kei. Now I have to tell you a secret. We said before that there are 12 months in the Hebrew calendar year, and each month corresponds to a different arrangement of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So now I want to tell you the following. That not only does every month in the Hebrew calendar have its arrangement of the name Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but also it has a pasuk in Tanakh. Every month has a corresponding pasuk in Tanakh. And maybe you could guess, what is the pasuk that corresponds to the month of Nisan? You guessed it. Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz. Why? Because the arrangement of the name of Hashem in Chodesh Nisan is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz. And that month is called the Rosh Chodeshim. Why? Why is this the Rosh Chodeshim? Well, first, it's the head, the leader, because the Shem Hashem is in a perfect formation, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But it goes beyond that. The month of Nisan, in its unique way, is going to impact on all the other 11 months of the year. Now, what is unique about the month of Nisan? So you'll tell me, well, in order for the Shem Hashem to be complete, and for Chodesh Nisan to really shine, Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz Yud Kei Vav Kei, we need the destruction of Amalek. And here I have a secret for you if you don't know it. And that is that Nisan is the month of Geula, of redemption. The Tanchuma, the major Tanchuma claims that Moshiach is going to come on the 15th of Nisan. That's the date that he will arrive. What's called Leil Shimurim. And it seems from a lot of the Rishonim that the key of keys is to invite, if I can use that word, Eliyahu HaNavi, because before the Mashiach comes, who comes first?
Eliyahu.
And therefore, on the night of the Seder, which is called Leil Shimurim, we go out to greet Eliyahu HaNavi. And we recite the following words, Shpoch Chamoscha al Agoyim Asher Lo Yaducha. This is the night that we pray for the destruction of our enemies, because this is the night of Geula. And the Geula depends upon the destruction of our enemies. Only when Amalek is destroyed, or anyone who professes the philosophy of Amalek to undermine the Jewish people, only when those adversaries of Klal Yisrael, who are by definition the adversaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they are vanquished, Shvoch HaMos HaLagoyim, then Eliyahu could come as the harbinger of Mashiach. And that's inherent in the month of Nisan. So the month of Nisan today is, in a sense, a microcosm, if you will, of the ultimate month of Nisan. So we have the month of Nisan today with a small nun, and the ultimate month of Nisan is with a capital nun. That's going to be the day in which we will destroy Amalek, and as a result of destroying Amalek, we will be able to complete the name of Hashem, which means we'll add the Vav K to the Yud K, and then we have the whole name of Hashem in its perfect formulation, Yud K Vav K. Kein Yi Ratzon, may he come this Tesvav B'Nisan a week from Friday night. So that when we go ahead and we say Shmoch HaMoscha L'Goyim, and the Maharal Miprag makes a big deal about the fact that Shmoch HaMoscha L'Goyim, we should pick up the cost, because the cost is, the fourth cost is the cost of Hallel, and the cost of Hallel, the second half of Hallel, which we recite at the end of the Seder, corresponds to the ultimate Geula. We're already singing the song of praise because we believe that tonight Mashiach is going to come. Arabo, so we could begin to put together the connection between Vayikra and Karbonos on the one hand, and the completion of the four parshios of Yud Kei Vav Kei with Parshas HaChodesh HaZelochem on the other hand. It's not coincidental that these two kriyos form one entity, because as far as Karbonos is concerned, it's Ish Ki Yakriv Michem Karbon Lashem, and the purpose of the Karbon is that once I've distorted my body in a spiritual sense, and I've distorted, therefore, the name of Hashem in terms of the way Yud Kei Vav Kei has to be arranged, I bring a Karbon Lashem. And the purpose of the Karbon Lashem is to rearrange the name of God. And now we read, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This is the month of a perfect formulation of the name of Hashem. This is the month of Geula. Kishem Shenigalu Avoseinu B'Nisan Kach Yigalu B'Geula Shlema. Then Nisan is the month of Geula, whether it's the Geula from Mitzrayim or the Geula Asida at the time of Mashiach. And now, what happens is, the name of Hashem, which is tragically Yud Kei Yismachu HaShamayim, now with the destruction of Amalek, at the time of the ultimate Geula, the name of the Chodesh Nisan is complete, Yismachu HaShamayim V'Sagel HaAretz. We're going to have happiness down here in this earth, on the ground, because of the addition of Vav K and the completion of the name of Hashem. And that's a result of the destruction of Amalek. Now, after we've said that, one might ask the following question. If Nisan is very much Rosh Chodashim, because of the process of Tshuva and the destruction of evil, then in a certain sense, we're reminiscent, it reminds us of another month in the year, which is also dedicated to Tshuva. Which month is that? Don't answer at once.
Elul and Tishrei.
Correct, Elul and Tishrei. Elul is the preparation, And at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the culmination, the pinnacle of that process of tshuva is when Aaron HaKohen, as we'll see in Parashas Achrimos in a few weeks, goes into the Kodesh Kodashim and he achieves for Klal Yisrael the Kapor of Yom HaKippurim. That's the culmination of a long process of Avodas HaTshuva. And the month of Nisan, which of course is 6 months earlier than Tishrei in the fact that it's Rosh Chodeshim, is very similar. And guess what? The Pasuk says, with regard to Aaron HaKohen on Yom Kippur, Bizos, Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. The word Bizos is a code word. What do I mean? The Torah says, with regard to the month of Nisan, HaKodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, which means this month is called HaKodesh HaZeh. So we haven't yet linked up with Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, because there it says Bezos and here it says HaKodesh HaZeh. However, if you turn to chapter Yud Gimel in Sefer Shmos, I don't have it in front of me right now, but you'll see that the Pasuk says Va'avadata Es HaVoda HaZos. When the Torah is describing the Avodas HaKorbanos on the month of, in the month of Nisan, the Torah calls it Avodah Zos. And the word Azos is a reference to Chodesh Tishrei. So in that sense, there's a process of tshuva that goes on during the month of Tishrei, culminating in the Avodas Yom HaKippur of the Kohen Gadol Bezos. And then there's a similar kind, a parallel kind of Avodah in the month of Nisan, insofar as that's HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh and V'Avadetem Es Avodah HaZos. And all this is simply a reflection of the statement of Rabbi Eliezer in Masechet Sanhedrin, Im Yisrael Osim Tshuva Nig'olim, V'im Lav Enom Nig'olim. And we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the Rambam Perek Zayin Milchus Tshuva paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, that Ein Yisrael Nig'olim Ela B'Tshuva. So if we want to convert the month of Nisan into its ultimate reality, meaning Yismichu HaShemayim V'Sagela Aretz, if we want to convert and transform the month of Nisan into the month of Geula, then what we need is, we need tshuva. That's the Avodah HaZos of the month of Nisan. Because through tshuva, we bring about the Geula. And now we get up to Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol, as I said before, is wedged in between the completion of the Dalet Parshios and Pesach, Chag HaGeul. So what happens with Shabbos HaGadol? There are many, many interpretations as to why Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol. All of them connect somehow to the Korban Pesach, because Chazal say that on the 10th of Nisan, when we were commanded to separate the Tleh and designated for Shechita purposes 4 days later, that day of the 4th of the 10th of Nisan was Shabbos. So that Shabbos was the Shabbos HaGadol. Now, what's the point to calling this Shabbos Shabbos HaGadol simply because they were able to separate the Tleh and designate it for the Korban Pesach? Obviously, based on many midrashim, this was a great miracle, because the Mitzrim were curious. Why were they tying down the lamb? The lamb was their Avodah Zarah. And when they found out from the Jewish people, who apparently don't know how to tell a good lie, that this was taken in order to slaughter, God commanded us in the midst of slaughtering this animal, at that point, we would have anticipated, based on the natural law, that the Mitzrim would have attacked the Jewish people. Why are you slaughtering our God? You remember how angry Lavan got when he accused Yaakov of stealing the Truffim. And it was a great miracle, and the Egyptians were frozen. They couldn't do anything. Okay, but we still don't understand, what's the connection to Shabbos? Again, it happened to be that the 10th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos, but that seems to be absolutely coincidental to the story of taking the Korban Pesach and designating it, and the miracle that God brought about that protected the Jewish people. So in order to answer this question, we have to first make one point, which is very simple and very clear, and then we have to go on to another question that's going to introduce a second point that's even more complicated. The first point, which is simple, is that the reason why God commands the Jewish people to take the tleh, the lamb, as opposed to any other animal, is because the power and the influence of Avodah Zarah at that time was so great. Chazal say, Alolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Alolu, even the Jewish people were swept away by this movement of Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says, no, take the Avodah Zarah and slaughter it. And as a result, it's going to protect you. They claim the idol worshippers that's going to destroy you, because how can you tamper with such a holy animal? Imagine in India if you started slaughtering a cow. They put you, I don't know what they do with you. Hashem says, Lafuki Avodah Zarah, to show you that Adarav, we're going to take the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim and we're going to shecht it as a carbon Hashem to prove that there is one and only one God that we serve. There's no service to any other God. But the problem here is the following. The Jews are very steeped in idol worship. It's been centuries that they've been influenced by the idol worship of Mitzrayim. When you live in a society for such a long time, it rubs off on you. How then, without any preparation, could they have reached this level of taking the Korban Pesach, which was the Tleh, the god of the idol worshippers, and shechting it? How did they climb to that level? All of Judaism is based on the premise that it takes a process, step by step. You can't just change overnight. We don't believe in those quick changes. They're meaningless. Even in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, we've got 49 days to prepare for Chag HaMatan Torah. So again, if you can identify with this question, if you can empathize with me, how is it possible that given the fact that the Jews were so influenced by the mode of idol worship that was so prominent in that day, at that day, how could they make that radical change? From whence did they derive a spiritual force and a power that would allow them to quickly change from the Avodah Zarah mentality to take this tleh and shecht it as the Korban Pesach, Lashem? And I'd like to suggest that the answer to that question lies in Shabbos. Here's where it's not coincidental that the Jewish people were able to get their act together and completely be poreish from Avodah Zarah from one extreme to the other immediately, instantaneously, because of the influence, the power of Shabbos. Why is that so? Now it's very interesting that the concept of Shabbos takes us all the way back to Bereishis. What do I mean? The Gemara has a sugya which is very familiar to all of us in Masechet Shabbos about a Jew who finds himself in a wilderness and he doesn't know which day is Shabbos. And according to one opinion, he immediately designates that day as Shabbos, and then he counts 6 days of Chol until finally he gets, you know, the circle completes itself and he's going to start Shabbos again. And the Gemara says, why? This is the opinion of Rav Chama. And the Gemara says that Rav Chama bar Chiya, and he's based on a pasuk of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was created on what day of the week? Friday, excellent. Thank you so much. Is David there? I wanted to say, Dr. Plotsky, are you there? I guess he is here? I don't see him. Okay. In any event, you're hiding behind something or other. Okay. Now, Adam HaRishon was created on a Friday. And immediately, he sinned. Chazal say that his sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas took place on that very day in which he was created. I guess you could say he didn't last very long as far as Ruchnius is concerned. And then he enters into Shabbos. Now, when we enter into Shabbos, Shabbos is meant to be the culmination of the spiritual avoda of the 6 days of Maisa. And then Shabbos is going to project us with a spirituality that we achieved on Shabbos for the next 6 days. So it's almost as if, like let's say in a sports arena, if I pass you the ball, I give you that energy and you take the ball and pass it on, you're in the middle here, you play the role of Shabbos. So Shabbos takes the energy of the 6 days of Chol and concretizes it, it reaches its pinnacle, and now Shabbos projects an influence of spirituality on the next 6 days. But the problem is that Adam HaRishon didn't have 6 days. He sins on the very day of his creation, falls very hard and very fast, and then he enters into Shabbos. How could that Shabbos possibly achieve its goal? The other Mantiyom in the Gemara, which is Rav Huna, he says that no, if you don't know when Shabbos is, you start counting 1, 2, 3, and you build up until Shabbos. And he learns that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayerev Ivoker, that God created the world on Motzei Shabbos, on Yom Rishon, and then Shabbos became the 7th day. That's what we should be imitating Hashem. And therefore, the 6 days he counts as days of Chol will hopefully allow him to garnish enough spiritual energy to project him into Shabbos. But there's another Manti Omar who says that no, you start with Shabbos. Let me just give you an overview of the paradox here. I understand Bishlema Rav Huna Shita, who says that you're going to count 6 days and then you'll have the spiritual energy to enter into Shabbos, and then Shabbos will project you forward. But according to the other Manti Omar, I think it's Chia, it's Yechia Barav, if I remember correctly, that Manti Omar says, no, follow the principle of Adam HaRishon. Start immediately with Shabbos, and then count 6 days of Maisa. So how does Adam HaRishon enter into Shabbos without the preparation of 6 days? That's my paradox. And that's what I ask you to empathize with. And I believe that there's a tremendous yesod here, a new idea here, which tells me about the greatness of Shabbos. And that is that Shabbos has its own built-in battery system, its own spiritual energy. Of course, Shabbos is the culmination of the 6 days of Maaseh. There's no doubt about that. But there is such a thing as a special power of Shabbos, which is a secret power of Shabbos, inherent in Shabbos, that doesn't depend upon the Sheishes Yimei Maaseh. That Shabbos itself becomes a spiritual source that can uplift a person even without preparation. I mean, Mashal Amad Dover Dome, imagine a person who converts to Judaism on Friday, if he can find a Beis Din, or a person becomes a Baal Tshuva on Friday. His first day as an Orthodox observant Jew is on Shabbos. He hasn't prepared for the Shabbos. The whole week long he was eating Nevelus and Trefus. He was doing Averis. But it doesn't matter. Shabbos will still have an impact on him. And in fact, if somebody could open up a Siddur to Kiddush, there should be a Siddur, if you know where I sit on my right, there should be a Siddur on the in the shelves there. And anyway, if you open up to Kiddush, or you have one, Gershon, tell me. Does it say Bimnucha Senu? In the Nusach of Kiddush. Help me out over here, because if I have to start looking for a Siddur now, It's going to take me a few minutes, which I don't want to waste your time. Anything?
I'm working on it, Rabbi.
Okay, thanks, thanks. I appreciate it. You don't see it where it says Yom. Just 1 second. Maybe you need a Sephardic sitter. I don't know. I don't have one here. So let's just see if we can. Oh, that's what I wanted. Okay, let's go slowly. It says, "Asherki chadu tosavatzon Shabbos kodshecha." The avo v'ratzon hinchiwanu. Do you have such a thing?
Yes.
Okay, so if you could write that on the whiteboard, it says hinchiwanu. Now I'm going to just skip just a few words, and we could get to almost a word for word repetition. It says v'shavas kodshecha. The avo v'ratzon hinchaltanu. Now I have two questions to ask. Question number one is why the repetition? And question number two, what's the difference between hinchilanu and hinchaltanu? Now, in Lashon Kodesh, we have something called nochach and something called nistar, which means either you or he. He meaning H-E. So, for example, if we say hinchaltanu, that's called Lashon Nochach. I'm looking at Hashem, so to speak, and I'm saying to him, God, this is what you gave me. So it's you, in Spanish, ustedes, right? And if you take a look at hinchilanu, that's a different language. That's already Lashon Nistar. Hinchilanu means he gave us. We're not turning to Hashem directly, face to face. So you remember, maybe some of you may remember, I quoted a sefer called Shvilei Pinchas, Rabbi Pinchas Friedman. So he claims that there are two dimensions to Shabbos. There's one dimension of Shabbos, which is hinchaltanu, which is v'lashon nochach, which means Shabbos is an entity that I see and I feel. It's begilui. But then there's hinchilanu, which is v'lashon nistar, and that's the secret power of Shabbos. And it works like this. In terms of what's nochach, what's obvious, that's going to be 6 days and then Shabbos. That's the obvious Shabbos. That's the Shabbos that we all anticipate, that we all experience. We've built up day by day. According to Beit Shammai, already on the first day, we're already putting things aside for Shabbos. The Ramban says, Zochres Yom HaShabbos Akach, is a mitzvah that begins at the beginning of the week. And it culminates with Shabbos. That's called Beratzon Hinchaltanu, where we look at Hashem and we see the Shabbos in front of us. But then there's something called Lashon Nistar, Hinchilanu. And that's the secret Shabbos. What's the secret Shabbos? That secret Shabbos is the first Shabbos of Adam HaRishon. And from Adam HaRishon's perspective, there was no Sheishis Yimei HaMasa. He was born, he was created on Friday. So as far as the world is concerned, Rav Hud is right. We can count 6 days, Vayera Vayivoker, until finally we get to Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of creation. But as far as the perspective of Adam HaRishon is concerned, Chiya Barav is correct, because Adam HaRishon experiences Shabbos very shortly before, after he was created, immediately after his sin. So that Shabbos now operates as a self-motivated, self-generated source of sanctity that's going to project him into the next week, even though there was no preparation, there was no hachana. That's the secret Shabbos. That's the Shabbos on Nistar. And now watch the parallel, just like in the case of Adam HaRishon. He goes into Shabbos as a sinner. He committed the sin which brought death to the universe, death to mankind. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's all the preparation that he has for Shabbos. Correct? Not a very good preparation, you have to admit. And yet he enters into Shabbos. And Chazal say that that Shabbos uplifted him. That within the process of the context and the influence of Shabbos, he was able to do tshuva for his sin. And the exact parallel is Klal Yisrael on the 10th of Nisan. They are so influenced by Avodah Zarah. Yesterday they were worshipping the Tleh. Today on the 10th of Nisan they're taking the Tleh and they're designating it for Shechita as a Korban Pesach Hashem. How could they make the transition? Well, how could Adam HaRishon make the transition from the Chet of Eitz Hadas into Shabbos? The answer is there's another element of Shabbos, and that's the element of Shabbos Benistar. Benistar means it's not something that we can really sense and immediately experience because it's below the surface. It's the Shabbos that has this inner power that can take a sinner and transform the sinner if only the sinner will do tshuva. How could Klal Yisrael do tshuva, as we asked before, if you empathize with my question, with one snap of the finger, and all of a sudden take their God and slaughter it as a Korban Pesach? The answer is, they had the beginning of the process of tshuva, and the 10th of Nisan was Shabbos. That's called the greatness of Shabbos. The Shabbos HaGadol is not the Shabbos that is a culmination of 6 days of preparation in which a person spiritually climbs the ladder, but rather the Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos that has its own self-generated power of spirituality. And this is the transition, perhaps, between the Yudke Vavke of the Dalit Parshios, which culminated with HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, a month that is indicated by Yudke Vavke Biofen Yashir, a month that is the month of Geula, that represents the destruction. And now, we're about to make that transition to Pesach, but we need a Shabbos. And what kind of Shabbos do we need? Well, the answer is, we're not ready for destroying chametz. We still have the chametz on our tables. And symbolically what that means is that we're still steeped in sin. How do we get to that Chodesh HaGeula? How do we arrive at Pesach, the night of Leil Shimurim, of Shvoch HaMoscha, the night which has a skula to bring about the ultimate Geula, the Mashiach? The answer is we have to have a Shabbos in between. And that Shabbos in between is the Shabbos HaNistar, the Shabbos which has a secret power to uplift us and to cleanse us and to allow our tshuva to reach a high crescendo. So we now see that in Chodesh Nisan, tshuva, which will ultimately, in Mirtz Hashem, bring about the Geula, is a three-part process. Part number one is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. But at this point, although the month in potential has the Yudkei Vavkei, it's Yismichu HaShemayim V'Sogelar, it's in potential, but Ein Yisrael Nigolim El B'Tshuva, and we haven't yet prepared ourselves for a tshuva. In stage number two, we experience the Shabbos. The Shabbos is meant to empower us with a certain spiritual force that will allow us in the week afterwards, next week, the week to come, to do tshuva, to get rid of our chametz, to destroy and uproot the Sa'ar Sheva Isa, and then we come to Pesach on Leil Shimurim, ready with tshuva, gemura. And this all coincides with the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Lashem. Lashem means Yudke Vavke. Lashem is a process of tshuva. Bezos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh and v'yavadetos Hashem b'chodesh HaZos. This is the Zos that connects us to the power of tshuva, and with that tshuva, Mirtz Hashem, to achieve the ultimate Geula, converting and transforming Leil Tesvav, the Leil Shimurim, into the night of Bias HaMashiach and the Geula Shlema, to destroy Amalek, to reinforce the name of Hashem, that not only is it Yismuchu b'Shamayim, the Yud Kei up in Shamayim, but it should also be the Vav Kei v'Sagela Aretz, down here on this earth with the destruction of our adversaries, and with the Bias Goel Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem Hashem in all its glory, our dedication to Hashem, Chodesh Nisan will become Emirtz Hashem. The Yud Kei Vav Kei that it is now in potential become a reality, and it will be V'Sagel Ha'aretz, the Vav Kei, to complete the name of Hashem. Kein Yi Ratzon. Amen.